Good morning. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. How many of you recognize the cooking show up there, Chopped? You ever watch it? Yeah, I enjoy it. It's a fun show to watch. I also watch Chopped Jr., which is just as fun, in some ways even more so. But if you've ever watched it, or if you haven't watched it, you need to know that they have these baskets, and in these baskets are surprise ingredients. And the cooks have to use those surprise ingredients. And I mean, it's weird stuff, some of it. But what they do, what sometimes they do, is the chefs choose to present the secret ingredients in two ways. As in spinach, raw and cooked. Well, today we're going to look at faith two ways. Today. Now, I want to read to you one of the devotional readings from Luther that came out of this book called Faith Alone. It's a good devotional book. But I want to read you part of one of these. It says, this is what Luther wrote. He says, "We are used to speaking about faith in two ways. We sometimes speak about faith apart from works. And at other times, we speak about faith accompanied by works. Just as a craftsman speaks about his material in various ways, and a gardener speaks of a tree sometimes as being barren and sometimes bearing fruit, so the Holy Spirit speaks in Scripture in various ways. Sometimes Scripture refers to an abstract or absolute faith. Other times it refers to faith as it appears outwardly, as it relates to other things, or as we live it out. Faith is absolute, not connected. When it's absolute, it's not connected to other things. When the Scripture speaks about receiving God's approval, or those who receive it, as we can see in reading Romans and Galatians. But, Luther goes on to say, when Scripture speaks of rewards and works, it's speaking of faith as it relates to other things, how it appears, or how we, again, live it out. The Bible gives several examples of this faith. Galatians 5:6 says, what matters is a faith that expresses itself through love. Luke 10:28 says, do this, and life will be yours. Psalm 34:14, turn away from evil and do good. And then Luther closes by saying, there are countless verses like this in Scripture. In these and similar verses where doing is mentioned, Scriptures always speak of doing in faith. If you have faith, then you are able to do good works. So says Luther. Faith is a gift that we use. Don't turn it around. We don't use faith and thereby receive it. No, first we receive it and then we use it. Using it does not save us, though we cannot be saved without faith. By the same token, we can't do anything by faith if we refuse God's gift of faith. We Lutherans, we have a tendency to overemphasize the receiving of faith to the detriment of being reminded to live, to act, to do our faith. What's our mission statement here? Hearing, sharing, and... what was that last one? The last one again? I didn't hear you. Very good. Very good. We are so fearful as Lutherans. We are so fearful of turning the gospel into law that we overcompensate. And we fail to encourage one another in the good works that are the fruit of faith. Fruit doesn't happen apart from the tree. Fruit is the natural result of a tree being a tree. So also, Good works are a natural result of the gift of faith that we've been given. One author I've read said, there is a counterfeit olive tree in Palestine. It's called the wild olive or the oleander. It is in all points like the genuine tree, except that it yields no fruit. When I see a person, this author says, taking up space in God's orchard and absorbing the sunlight of His grace, yet yielding no real fruit, I say to myself, there is an oleander. I pray that God's Spirit will make this person an olive tree that will bear fruit for the Lord. Now, in light of that, I want you to, I'll read this. Listen again to this part from the epistle lesson today. Paul writes, "So, my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ that you might belong to one another, to Him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. For when we were controlled by the sinful nature, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our bodies so that we bore fruit for death. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit." We are Greek thinkers, black or white, high or low. Yes or no. We're Greek thinkers. We think in that way. But we oftentimes forget that God allows Hebrew thinking, which is both and. It's not just either or. It's both and. We tend to think of faith, or we are supposed to think of faith, as both something we receive and as something we use, as Luther described it in that devotion. One is not exclusive of the other. Both are valid and both are needed in order to receive and use the gift. Without the use of the gift in this world, what good is the gift in this world? Now, in the Old Testament today, the only way the prophet was seen as truthful was if he prophesied and what he prophesied came true. The words he was given, the gift from God, the words that he was given, the gift, the prophet used in his speaking out and thereby made God's will known. If the prophet had received the gift of the words of God and refused to speak them, then those words were of no value to the people. So also the gift of faith we've been given. And again, faith is God's gift. We don't earn it. But having been given the gift, like the words of the prophet, our faith does no service to others unless we use it. Jesus in the gospel lesson gives a very simple example, the giving of a glass of water. The water is given in order to strengthen and sustain the other person. Jesus doesn't say, whoever gets a glass of water and keeps it for themselves receives a reward. The idea, as Luther likes to talk about, is that of serving our neighbor. We're to serve others as God in Christ first served us. God served us through the death and the resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ, so that we might have the gift of faith. And that gift guides and it empowers and it strengthens us to serve others. That is what comes of the gift of faith, naturally, like we said earlier, like a fruit from the tree. That comes naturally as a result of receiving the gift. There was, I'm going up to Washington to see Matthew. And he lives in Oak Harbor, which is on Whidbey Island, a neighboring island called Orcas Island. There was a visitor one time who dropped off his rental car at the dock where the ferry boat is. And he started his walk back, it was about a half mile up to the cottage that he had rented. And he was loaded down. He had two backpacks, he had a camera case, he had an overnight bag and all this kind of thing. And all of a sudden on this road, a van went by him and it stopped. It pulled over and stopped in front of him. Out of the van came these two sharply dressed young men. And one took off and went to the house that was up the road a piece. And the other one came back to the loaded down visitor with all his stuff. The young missionary smiled. And he offered his literature, sincerely voicing his concern for the visitor's salvation and other things that the literature talked about. So, after carefully balancing his gift of literature on top of the visitor's load, the missionary returned to his van. He and his co-worker hopped back in and drove off down the street. At that moment, the visitor didn't need the literature so much as he needed a lift. Jesus came and suffered the price on the cross and rose again from the grave for our salvation, for our gift of faith. He both talked of faith and lived it out for us to see. We're called to use the gift of faith as God has demonstrated to us through sacrifice and service. You have to remember, sacrifice is just that. It is sacrifice. It's not the easy thing. It calls us to give up things, to make changes, to adjust to new things, to be taken out of, as we like to say, out of our comfort zone. Now, again, that's not what saves us or makes us worthy of the gift. No, it's the gift of faith that we've been given that makes those things possible for us to participate in. We can be sacrificial with our time, sacrificial with our money, and sacrificial in what we do, how we act with what God has given us, because God has first sacrificed. He has done the hard thing for us. We can serve others. We can even pay to serve others because God has first done that for us. A few years back at the golf tournament down at Big Cedar, with several of the golf legends, I considered going to help just to be a volunteer, just so that I could see these guys. Even though, back then anyway, it cost like $150 just to be a volunteer. Still, I almost did it. Because to see, you know, back then, with Palmer and Trevino and Nicholas, I would love to have just seen them swing their clubs. Even more so, with what God has given to us in the gift of faith, it's worth it to pay to do the work God calls us to do simply because God is worth it. After all, He's the one who first paid the cost for our redemption through Jesus' death on the cross and His resurrection, so that we could be in His eternal presence, holy and spotless and pure and clean of sin through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. By His gifts of forgiveness and faith, He has gifted us so that we can serve others and share with them the love of God in the gospel that we have first been shown. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.